Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Deividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and live streaming audio at ktym.com.
Partizanų būrys paklebeno duris, paklebeno į sodžiaus pirkelę. Atidarė duris jiems liūdna mergina, čia broliukai nuvargę sušalę. Atidarė duris jiems liūdna mergina.
Wasn't that pretty? That's from a collection called Už laisvę tėvynę ir tave, For Freedom, The Fatherland, and You. And it's, subtitled The Best Partizanu Songs, best songs about the Forest Brothers. A lot of romanticization, of course, of those brave young men who went out into the forests of Lithuania to fight for freedom for well over a decade after the Second World War, but I can't help it. It brings a tear to my eye, and I hope you enjoyed that as a little opening number. I'm Kęstutis Deividas, and this is Independent Lithuanian Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. In Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania, it's a typical spring winter, maybe a couple of degrees cooler than it might be. But anyway, tomorrow it'll be 37 degrees in the capital. And at night it'll drop down to 33. But then through the rest of the week, that's just pretty much it. 37, 38, nighttime lows, just around freezing. And it'll finally pop above 40 next week, April 6th. It is, of course, Holy Easter. Catholics and Christians throughout the world will be celebrating the most important feast day in the Christian religion. And, of course, our very own St. Casimir's will have a high mass tomorrow. There'll be the 6 o'clock mass in the morning, which is the resurrection mass, and then there will be the high mass at 10:30. So pick the one you feel like going to. When I was a young boy, my parents would always get up at 4:35 in the morning, and we'd always go to 6 o'clock mass. And then by 7:30, 8 o'clock, all the family got together at a family member's house, and we had our feast of hard-boiled marguce, which are decorated Easter eggs, and ham, and all kinds of things. And the men drank earlier that day, Easter Sunday, than any other day in the year. It was an excuse. Mass, church, the obligations had been taken care of. And by noontime, everyone was singing. Anyway, such is the Easter memories of my youth. We'll talk a little bit about Easter traditions in Lithuania in the past and now in a few minutes. But first, let's get to our community calendar. Next week, a big event. I want to keep you informed. Saturday, April 6th, that's a week from today, April 6th, will be the Baltic American Freedom League's annual awards banquet. And again, it's at the Latvian Community Center at 1955 Riverside Drive. It's a very special year because the award is being given to and accepted by Marius Markavičius. He's the writer and director of that famous documentary film now, The Other Dream Team. Marius was born and raised here in the United States, as a matter of fact, here in Santa Monica. And his passion for sports and basketball and the love that his family put into him for his parents' homeland, for Lithuania, has melded so beautifully together in this film that is sometimes political, sometimes romantic, and sometimes about sports, and it's all melded together. Just a fantastic film. He certainly deserves the award, and he'll be receiving it at the 2013 Baltic American Freedom League Awards Banquet. The keynote speaker will be Representative Adam Schiff. Now, he represents the 28th Congressional District here in California, and he has recently agreed to become co-chairman of the House Baltic Caucus. So we have a friend in Congress, Representative Adam Schiff. In his seventh term in the House of Representatives now, he serves on the House Appropriations Committee and the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. So he's on these great committees, he's where the money is, and he's a friend of the Baltic community. Come here, Representative Adam Schiff. Come see our very own Modest Mudkavicius receive the well-deserved award and have a great dinner and be entertained by Draugai Live Entertainment by a Lithuanian women's singing group. Everything starts at 6 o'clock. Dinner is at 7. The program starts at 8. Tickets are $50, and you can call Marita Sepikas at 818-321-1811 to make reservations. I'll repeat that, 818-321-1811. Or you can call me, call my office, leave a message if I'm not here, and I'll get back to you. My office phone is 310-453-1735. Ask for me or ask for my wife, Odra Davidas, and she'll also take your reservation for Baltic American Freedom League. Once again, that's 310-453-1735. You can call 24 hours a day. The answering machine is on. And hopefully we see you next week at the Baltic American Freedom League Awards Banquet at the Latvian Community Center. Another cultural event coming up in a couple of weeks, and that's the springtime concert by Ptolemy Aidai. There's eight young men, and they will sing for you. They're just really good. They do a lot of a cappella singing, and they're very entertaining. And this is a fundraising event, again, a spring concert, and it's fundraising for the Lithuanian American Community, Inc., okay, to put money in the account, so to speak, and also to help defray costs that are incurred by our Honorary Consul General, Daiva Čekanauskaite and Navaret. So, you know, to support our community and keep things going, this is a great way to entertain yourself and also help the community at large with a springtime fundraising concert by Ptolemy Aidai. That's on the 20th of April, 20th of April, 7 o'clock in the evening, Saturday night, 20th of April, at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. $20 each admission, okay? And you can get more information by calling Dalila at 805-496-9711. That's Dalila at 805-496-9711 for the Ptolemy Aidai. Distant Echoes is how you translate it. The Distant Echoes Springtime Concert Fundraiser on the 20th of April. Finally, the Daughters of Lithuania, the Los Angeles chapter, invite you to their annual fundraiser on April 28th. That'll be the following week, and that's Sunday at noon, and it's called The Power of Music, and it features a program by renowned pianist Rudolfas Bogdanas. Now, I talked about this last week. I've seen Rudolfas before, and I'm just going to tell you, this is so worth seeing. He's very entertaining. It's funny. It's lighthearted, yet you learn something. He plays and he explains about the music, and you feel yourself drawn in, and suddenly you're more intensely involved in the sort of music he plays than you ever thought you could be. So show up. It's going to be well worth it, and you're going to thoroughly enjoy it. Again, it's at noon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall on April 28th, and it is a fundraiser for the Daughters of Lithuania. Okay, once again, 428-2013. Call Vilija for reservations, and Vilija's phone number is 310-386-1442. That's 310-386-1442, 310-386-1442. Before we go to break, I want to thank Viltis Jatulis for her generous donation to Independent Lithuania. Lithuanian Radio, and Viltis has been a consistent supporter over the years, and we really appreciate those of you who don't forget us on a regular basis, and you know, we don't even need to ask, and that's really, really nice. We also want to thank the Gricis family for their very generous donation. And finally, I want to thank all of you who expressed sincere get well wishes to me. You know, I whined a little bit about, maybe I whined a lot, but I whined about my sudden health problems, which have to do with my back and a herniated disc, which has really changed and slowed me down over the past month. And again, so many of you called and reached out to me. And I've heard stories about miraculous recoveries and some stories that were a little bit more on the depressing and perhaps realistic side. Who knows? But I really appreciate it. I've been touched. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Those of you who have an understanding of Lithuanian will get the inside joke that last tune was not seasonably appropriate. However, I like it a lot. Anyway, before we talk a little bit about Easter and old Easter traditions and what goes on in Lithuania this time of year, I want to bring to your attention a little story that's in Vilnius. You know, Vilnius, capital of Lithuania, right? Vilnius, V-I-L, news, like ABC Eyewitness News, N-E-W-S, Vilnius.com. You should check it out. Talked about this website before. One of the finest English-written websites on Lithuania in the world, if not the finest. There is so much information there, okay? It's Vilnius, Vilnius.com. Check it out. On there is a story about making bullets, Daiva Venskus. Regular listeners will know that we did an extensive coverage of Daiva Venskus' experiences as a young lady in Lithuania in 1991, where she helped to defend the parliament and acted as a press secretary. I'm sort of synopsizing the whole thing. Anyway, we spent weeks and weeks talking with her and interviewing her, and she's trying to get a book published, and we went through it. Anyway, Vilnius has some comments on her efforts to get her book published, but more importantly, the first chapter has been reprinted there. It's the story of her, of our very own. She lives here in Santa Monica, Daiva Venskus, who travels to Lithuania to learn about her heritage and becomes part of Lithuania's singing revolution. On October 13th, of course, 14 peaceful protesters were killed and hundreds of others were injured by Soviet troops in 1991. The Soviets didn't succeed in their coup attempt, but they didn't end Lithuania's drive for independence either. So 2 days after this happened, okay, 25-year-old Daiva Venskus arrived in Lithuania offering her services to help any way she could. Eventually, she began to work as press spokesperson for the Lithuanian parliament. Anyway, the book is a true story of what happened then, 1991, just 22 years ago. And the first chapter, again, has been published by on the web at Vilnius.com. Check it out. It's inspiring. If you listen to her here, you'll remember her and me getting choked up remembering about these events. So once again, this is an opportunity for you to review and read the first chapter. It's gripping. So once again, Vilnius.com. Look in the right-hand column. You'll see her at the top of it. You'll see a picture of her, and then you can click on the link and read the story. Now on to Lithuania and Easter, which we'll all be celebrating in one way or another tomorrow. The religious amongst us will attend Holy Mass. Others will, visit friends and family and eat some Easter eggs, perhaps. Maybe some of you who don't eat eggs normally will have your one and only hard-boiled egg on Easter Sunday tomorrow. You know, Christianity, okay, has incorporated the ancient equinox, Lithuanian equinox traditions into Easter. And they've replaced the Lithuanian name for the equinox with Velykos, okay? Pavasario Lygia, which means spring equinox, remains the only non-Christian name for the holidays. In ancient pagan Lithuanian religion, in ancient beliefs, it was called Veles, Velykos of Veles, okay? And again, much like Kuches or Christmas Eve, much of the ceremonies and much of the commemoration revolved around the commemoration of the dead. This was a very big thing. The dead were honored. The, you know, quote unquote, the ancient ancestors were honored in all these events because they were believed to exist in sort of a parallel world, in the world that the living were in. In modern times, of course, the celebrations begin a week before on what's called Palm Sunday, last week. But Palm Sunday is actually a misnomer because, of course, there are no palms in Lithuania. Instead, verba, or which is really a dwarf spruce branch, you know, that's sort of wrapped up and used. It's wrapped up and wrapped up with other dried flowers and herbs and ribbons. People take it to church on Palm Sunday, or Verbos, and they are blessed and brought home. Traditionally, the needles are pulled off and saved to be burned as incense during times of calamity. Again, ancient traditions with new. They're blessed at a church, but now the needles are taken off and burned to protect against evil during thunderstorms, during sickness, during death. Okay? The bare branches are tucked behind holy pictures or in the rafters of a home to protect the territory. Then comes Holy Thursday a couple of days ago. It's a time for ritual cleansing. In the old days, the bathhouses or saunas were heated, and for those near bodies of water, a quick dip in the river was okay to clean up, lake or pond also. Okay? It was required that you clean yourself some way. Not only was it imperative to clean one's own self, but to clean the entire house. Okay? On Good Friday, which was yesterday, people very somber in respect for the crucified Christ. Children are forbidden to laugh and make noise. You know, children are taught discipline, that they need to be calm and quiet. Okay? There is a belief that if you had not done your cleaning on Thursday, you could not continue it now on Good Friday because dust would get into the eyes of Jesus, and he is already suffering too much. Now, you know, every year as I sort of go in and look for some of these archaic traditions, I tend to find some new things. I found a different one this year. It said another superstition has it that on Good Friday, that bugs, if you have bugs and pests in your home, you can get rid of them by scattering dirt from your local cemetery around the house. Now, I hadn't heard that one before, and it sounds a little bit odd, but you know, I thought I'd share it with you. Anyway, Holy Saturday, which would be today, people go to church to obtain blessed fire and water. Okay, you have the blessing of the fire and the blessing of the water. The belief is that they have miraculous powers, and they can cure a multitude of ills and provide protection. Basket of Easter food, eggs, salt, bread, cake, ham, bacon, sausage, butter, cheese. Other foods that vary by family are brought to church to be blessed. Blessing of the baskets is a common tradition among Lithuanian and other Eastern Europeans. Some regions have their food blessed on Holy Saturday or others on Easter morning. I personally had that experience where I went to the cathedral in Vilnius for the Holy Mass on Easter Sunday, what, about 6 or 7 years ago. And people came in from all over the countryside, and they had the blessing of the fire after Mass. In other words, when people left, the fire was blessed, and people took a piece of burning wood with them. The idea was is you took the holy fire home, and the ancient fire was warmth and comfort in the home, and you took the blessed fire home, and you kept the fire going all year round. And again, back to the water. You weren't theoretically allowed to swim till the water was blessed, and it marked the beginning of the season, sort of spring, that you could go swimming. Now, earlier I mentioned that you must clean yourself, but this was swimming in a lake or a pond. But that was only if you didn't have a sauna. Okay, if you didn't have a sauna or a bathhouse, you must clean yourself, so you were allowed to dip in a lake or river. But otherwise, you needed to wait till Easter to have the fire and the water blessed, so that for the rest of the year, it was safe for you to use. Of course, the food that will be eaten on Easter tomorrow, okay, would be prepared on Holy Saturday. In more modern times, the entire family colors Easter eggs, known as marguche. They're decorated by two methods. And the simplest form, and of course the more interesting form, is the old-fashioned way to do it, and that's to dye them with onion skins or beets or flower petals or hay and tree bark. Okay, and of course now in the recent, not in the recent past, but the more elegant eggs, the pretty eggs, are all done with the method of wax resistance, where you design the egg with wax and then dip it in dye, and of course the waxed parts stick out. Anyway, after church services, people return to their homes to dine on a sumptuous breakfast. Remember that traditionally everybody's been fasting through Lent. So for the first time, they're really allowed to eat anything they want. And it is a feast. Okay, a feast occurs. And as I told you earlier in the program, my family used to partake of that feast fully and sumptuously on Easter morning. Now, of course, here in the United States and in the West, we think of the Easter Bunny. All right. You know, back in Lithuania, we have the Velykų Bobutė, or the Easter Granny. On Easter Sunday, children hunt for Easter eggs that are hidden by the Velykų Bobutė. Okay? And bunny helpers paint the eggs for Granny. But the main character is a little old lady carrying the Easter eggs, not a bunny. Granny in folklore uses a sunbeam as her whip, and instead of a tiny horse, bunnies pull her cart. She distributes eggs to all good children. Bad children receive only one single plain white egg. Anyway, most of you know these things, but sometimes it's fun to remember them and get nostalgic about them, because you've all heard all sorts of stories, and all of us have our own variations, whether our families came from city or from peasant stock, you know, from the countryside. You know, life was quite a bit different and more archaic out in the small villages in the kaimai of Lietuva, as opposed to in Vilnius and Kaunas, who were, especially Vilnius, was getting quite sophisticated during that part of the war. Now, of course, the Lithuanian capital of the current capital of Vilnius was occupied during most of the in-between war period, between World War I and II. So most of the experiences of city dwellers from Lietuva, from Lithuania, who fled towards the end of World War II, were people who lived in towns like Kaunas. So, again, things to remember, and talk to your mothers, fathers, and those who are still alive at that time who can share these memories with you. The Easter superstitions, those are always fun. You know, for example, if it rains on Easter morning, little children should go outside and get watered. In other words, they should go outside and let it rain on their head, because then, like a plant, they will grow quickly. Okay? If on the way to Easter Mass you pass by a woman, you will have an accident. Now, if you accidentally do that, to take off the curse, you have to retrace your steps and take another path to church. After Mass, the person who gets home first will be the most successful all year. But you're not allowed to push and shove to get home first. Now, if an accident occurs on Easter Sunday, the rest of the year is destined to be fraught with bad luck. And if Easter morning is sunny and beautiful, the summer will be fair. If it rains or snows, bad weather is to be expected, and a bad harvest, too. One must remember that Easter, in its modern form, moves around. It's a movable feast. It moves as much as like a month, right? You know, it can be later in the month, earlier in the month, and all that. So all those, that fact alone had a lot of influence on the kind of weather and on the kind of superstitions that were believed or not believed on Easter Sunday in Lithuania. We'll be right back. may the rain wash out your mouth, and may you tremble all night like a quaking aspen. What fantastic poetry in those ancient Lithuanian songs. You know, before the little break there, I blathered on about Kaunas being really the center of culture in Lithuania between the world wars. And that brings me to the next little story I want to share with you in the little remaining few minutes. Lithuania is home to 128 ethnicities and 59 religious communities, okay? But most of that is in Vilnius, because Vilnius has always seemingly belonged to someone else rather than Lithuania, even though it's Lithuanian territory and the original Lithuanian capital. On March 2011, March 1st, Lithuania was inhabited by, again, 154 ethnicities, and the population was made up of 84% Lithuanians. Poles made up 6.6%, Russians 5.8%. So Russians are less than 6% of the Lithuanian population. Belarusians 1.2%, and Ukrainians 0.5%. Residents of other ethnicities accounted for 0.06%. Compared to 2001 census, okay, 12 years ago, the ethnic composition changed not significantly. Between the census, the number of residents decreased in all ethnic groups. Ukrainians 27%, Russians 19%, Belarusians 15%, Poles 14%, and Lithuanians themselves decreased by almost 12%. In rural areas, Lithuanians accounted for 87.2% of the population, in urban areas 82.6%. The major proportion of Russians, Belarusians, and Ukrainians were living in urban areas, of Lithuanian and Poles in rural areas. Now, Vilnius is the most prominently multi-ethnic city in Lietuva, inhabited by people of 128 different ethnicities. Kaunas was inhabited by people of only 85. Klaipėda 77, Šiauliai and Panevėžys about 50 each. During the census, residents attributed themselves to 59 religious communities. There were only 28 in 2001. 11 faiths were practiced by more than 1,000 residents each. 2.35 million, or 77% of the population, indicated being Roman Catholic. 125,200, or 4.1%, Orthodox. 23%, what is known as the Old Believers, 18,400, or 0.6%, as Evangelical Lutherans, and 0.2%, or 6,700, as Evangelical Reformists. All others, which is 0.8%, are 24,500. 186,700 people, or about 6% of the population, did not attribute themselves to any religious community at all. That number was higher at 9.5%, or 331,000, back in 2001. 88.6% of Poles, 82% of Lithuanians, and 49% of Belarusians, and 13% of Ukrainians called themselves Roman Catholics. 51.5% of Russians, 32% of Belarusians, and 59% of Ukrainians called themselves Orthodox, and almost 12% of Russians to what is known as the Old Believers community. Other religious communities were indicated by residents of different ethnicities. However, their proportion was small, except for the Sunni Muslim community, indicated by 51.6% of Tatars, and the Judaic community, indicated by 34% of the Jewish population in Lithuania. So anyway, I thought you might find that of interest. There's really quite a bit of diversity in Lithuania, but most of the diversity is in Vilnius, the capital. This is Kęstutis Reivydas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Till next week. Bye-bye.